Kathy, one row, you both going to come? Yeah? Awesome. Can I pray for you guys? Yeah, you guys want to give them a hand clap? Yeah, let's pray. Can I pray for you?
Yes, please.
Yes, awesome. God, we just pray for Dan and Kathy right now. God, I pray that your spirit would be upon them, Lord Jesus, just to proclaim your news of your kingdom, Lord Jesus, God. And whatever they see in heaven happening, I pray they would bring it down and be proclaimed here in this room, and it would manifest, and there would be fruit in the nations because of this message right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Awesome.
Thank you very much. Wow. Yeah. It is great being here. Jeff and Autumn, I know you're watching right now. I think you're watching right now. Praise. I want to know who gave you this condo to stay in, because I would like to be friends with those people as well. But it is great to be back at James River. We always feel more at home here than any other church really around the world. And a lot of you are new, and so you haven't heard me brag on your new church that you're a part of here. But we really... Jeff and Autumn know this. We brag on this church all around the world regarding the leadership. Jeff and Autumn, they're worthy of double honor, like the Bible talks about. Just bless on Jeff and Autumn. They are an amazing, exceptional, pastoral couple. We love them, and just keep being good to them, okay? And they'll live long. They'll live a long time if you keep blessing them and being good to them. We have a YouTube channel called Missionary Adventures. So if you have a device, you have permission right now to go. No, you can go to your device if you have one, if you have Wi-Fi in your device, or you can write this down. We have a YouTube channel called Missionary Adventures. If you just type in missionary, you'll probably get a Mormon group or something. But if you type in Missionary Adventures with an S at the end, you'll see Dan and Kathy on there. And we invite you to subscribe to that, but also check out the videos. We have about 130 videos on there now from around the world, many, many, many countries. And some are pretty funny, of which we'll... Are you ready, Cecilia, to show you a little bit of one? Maybe hit the light and you can see this was from Uganda last year. Dancing in the Ugandan House of God. No, that's not someone being delivered. That's just happy. Isn't that great? All right, that's cool. That's cool. Thank you. Usually in our videos, we do talk in them, and you can scroll down and see them. But again, we invite you just to check those out, because we have a lot of fun. I was really torn when she asked me, what video would you like to show? We have some that we're really, you know, squirreling out on, and other ones that are a little more serious, but they're all from around the world. We've been doing a devotional series called Secret Place Devotionals, that most of them are filmed from our garden house in Germany where we live, but we don't live there in the garden house anymore. So I have to do a little conference thing. Okay, all right. Kathy wants the mic.
Okay.
There we go.
All right. We'll see what the Holy Spirit wants to do in and through me. I just empty myself and I allow the Holy Spirit to come and just speak through me right now. So what He laid on my heart was that I just want to share with you briefly my testimony. I was one that was addicted to drugs and alcohol. I was so bound with alcohol and drugs that I needed to have a drug to wake up in the morning and a drug to put me to sleep at night. And I was lost, and I didn't know where to go and who could help me. And so I continued on this pathway of destruction for, my teen years and my early adult years. And I was living out in California at the time. And so one day, I began to just download in my body a multitude of drugs. Cocaine, heroin, LSD, and I was a mess. And so that night, I began to overdose. And what I did actually was I was in a place of just a desperate place. And my boyfriend was with me at the time, and he knew I wasn't doing very well. And so he began to just shake me and try and keep me alive, really, because my body was shutting down, and I was overdosing on all these drugs. And so when he laid me on the bed, my soul came out of my body, and I knew I was dying. And I knew that I was not going to go to heaven because I did not have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so I was going into eternal hell. And what I experienced was my life was like flashing before my eyes, and I saw various times when I would be sitting in a church service just like this, and the preacher would say, "Hey, do you want to give your heart to Jesus?" And I'd be like, "He's no fun. I don't want anything to do with him. God is boring." So it's like I just put it off, and I just said no to him. And so in hell, here I am. I'm seeing these times when I could have given my heart to him, but it was too late. And I cried out, "God, put me back together." Because in that place of hell, it's a separation from a loving God. It's a separation from a love that you were looking for all your life, a love that is so pure and so real. And here I am. I'm just sitting there. My soul is in hell. I'm just like crying out, "God, put me back together again." And instantly he put me back into my body. And through a series of just convulsions and shakings and tremblings and everything else, I just prayed a simple prayer, and I just said, "God, I know you're real. I know you're in heaven, and I'm here on earth. Please help me find you." And a week later, the Holy Spirit, who's really good at what he does, led me into a church, back into a church. And here the preacher man's preaching again. And he says, "The demons of hell know that he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they tremble at this." And I, like a demon from hell, was trembling and shaking, and I couldn't stop trembling and shaking, knowing that Jesus Christ is Lord of lords and King of kings. He said, "Who would like to give your heart to me?" Well, I was raised in a church where it was very religious, where it's like all about the do's and the don'ts. And I'm like, "I don't want to do this. God, I want you, but I don't want to do this." And just like that, the Lord speaks to me and says, "Kathy, you're not giving your heart to a church. You're giving your heart to my son, Jesus. Would you like to receive him today?" And I ran down the aisle, and I gave my heart to Jesus. And I'm telling you, it was the highest high I ever experienced in my life. And so God transformed me. God changed me. God set me free. He took all the desire for the drugs and the alcohol. He took it all away. My life was brand new that day. And I walked down to the beach. I put some roller skates on that I had, you know, rollerblades, they call them now. But I began to just praise the Lord out in the open. And as I'm roller skating along the strand near the beach, I was just like lifting my hands, and it's God in me, and me and God, and Jesus is in me, and he's filled me with this Holy Spirit. And I was just rejoicing and praising him. And I roller skated by some friends of mine, and they said, "Oh, Kath, what drug are you on today? Give us some of this drug." I said, "This is no drug. This is Jesus Christ, and he has set me free today." And so now God has given Dan and I the opportunity to go around the world and to share with people that there is a God who loves them and wants to have a relationship with them through his son, Jesus Christ. And so I'm just here today to proclaim that I was once lost, but Jesus found me and he set me free. And another thing I just want to share, that yes, through all that and that life of struggle and that life of just, you know, sin and just all the things that I was doing, there was stuff that was clinging on me in my soul, you know. It's like, yes, my spirit was set free, and I had a relationship with Jesus, but my soul was still in darkness, still in agony about where I had been and what I had done. And I needed Jesus to set me free and deliver me and bring me out of that darkness into the light of his love. And I'm here today, and if you've given your heart to Jesus and you're still stuck in that place of feeling, ugh, the past is still drawing you away and still clinging on you, and memories and thoughts and emotions of being bound to the past that you were walking in and living in, Jesus is the one that is your deliverer. He is the one that can set your heart free completely and totally. You can have a brand new life in starting off with just knowing that you are clean, you are healed, you are whole, and you can make a difference to those around you, that you don't have to be bound to your past. But Jesus Christ is the one to deliver you. And I just want to pray a prayer, a corporate prayer together over you, all of you, because we all struggle with things of our past. We all struggle with things that are trying, that the enemy tries to bring up, and even our flesh tries to, oh, remember this, remember that. But Jesus wants us to be whole. He wants to be the shalom in our life, that he wants us to have a wholeness in our life and freedom completely. So, Father, right now, I ask if anybody who is still bound from their past, things that are just kind of stirring up inside of them, they're feeling so dirty still and so, oh, just not free but bound. But God, you're the one that's their deliverer. You daily deliver us. And we come to you right now and we ask, Holy Spirit, that you would speak to each heart right now and reveal where Jesus Christ was in those places of their past, those places of darkness, those places that they've experienced, those painful places. God, that you right now, Holy Spirit, would come and minister a word of truth to them, that you would break off the lies that the enemy has been speaking to them, break them off by your spirit of truth. Come, Holy Spirit. Speak the word of life to them. Set them free by the power of God right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Praise God. Well, amen. Yeah, well done. Wow. Thank you, Kathy. Praise the Lord. We want to be led by the Spirit. So sometimes when we're led by the Spirit, to us, it feels a little choppy, but God knows what he's doing at just the right moment. We love sharing the gospel. We love seeing people get saved. Usually, we bring that opportunity at the end of a service, but sometimes the Lord likes to just seize that opportunity because there's somebody or somebodies right now at this moment who need to respond. And again, if you're still holding back, don't do that anymore. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Just say yes to him. Again, you're not giving yourself to a church. You're not giving yourself to some kind of a membership rule, some kind of a religious routine. You're giving your life to Jesus Christ. And he absolutely changes you from the inside out. It's a miraculous work that you can't do on your own. You have to have the Holy Spirit living and dwelling inside of you to help you do that. Amen. We are living in some really exciting times, aren't we? Who would have thought a year and a half ago or a year ago that we would be going through, that the nation and the nations would be going through what they're going through? And I'll tell you, the churches that are growing and exploding in growth right now around the country are the ones that are open and that are preaching the gospel and are still reaching out to the lost. Those are the churches that we see wherever we go that are thriving in America. Because, you know, there was a pastor in Africa I was talking to a few months ago, and he said, oh, Brother Don, he said, I don't know what to do. The government said we can't meet, and we, you know, even families, even like one family can't meet with another family in front of in their house, and it's really hard for me, and I, you know, it's against the law for me to go out and meet in any kind of a corporate way. We can't go to the churches, and what should we do? I said, well, what does the Bible say? But Dan, the government is saying this. I said, what does the Bible say? The Bible says, don't stop or don't neglect meeting together as the body of Christ as you see the day approaching. Well, what's the day approaching? It's the Lord's coming. It's the rapture of the church. And so now more than ever, I'll tell you, if the devil has used this virus for evil, it has been to shut the church down, to keep people from praying and worshiping corporately, because that's where the explosive power of the church lies, in coming together. Now, is there power when you meet with Jesus privately? Yes. When I meet with Jesus every morning, when I get up and spend an hour or so with him, yes, I love meeting with him. It's wonderful. I look forward to that every morning. And it is explosive. It's powerful. But there is something that's more dynamic when I meet with my wife and pray, even multiplied more dynamic when Chad's leading in worship and you have 100 people that are loving on Jesus, praying for Huron, praying for your community. That's what's behind this demonic virus. Is an attempt by the enemy to keep the church from meeting together, the church from being the church. And so when government conflicts with the church, that's when we need to go to the Word of God. All right, so thank you, Jeff and Autumn. Thank you for being faithful, for pursuing after God, not walking in fear. This is an exciting time. And I'm not saying that just to pump you up. Kathy and I returned from Germany back to the States on January 4th. We started in South Carolina, headed up to D.C., then over to South Dakota. We've been to 13 states so far. From here, we go to Missouri and then Texas, et cetera, back to Germany, I think, in May. We'll see what God has for us. Then to Africa, we'll see what God has for us. He's really shifting things around quite aggressively. But I'll tell you, what we're seeing in the States right now is a hunger that we have never seen before. Now, I wasn't born in the 50s, but I would almost liken it to, there is a sensitivity and a hunger, I think, that probably hasn't been matched since maybe the 40s or 50s. It is so easy to talk to people about Jesus and to pray with them. We have had absolutely zero negative responses from people. We've passed out probably 1,500 tracts, prayed with hundreds of people, I would say, witnessed/prayed with, I would say, a few hundred people at least since we've been back in the States the last 6 weeks, 7 weeks, 8 weeks. Man, seize the opportunity. Jesus is coming back soon. Amen? I mean, he is. His return is imminent, and we need to be about his business. Loving him, loving people. That's it. It's super easy. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out what God wants you to do. Love him, love people. Amen. Look at Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. It's in your notes there. It says, Jesus said to his disciples just before he ascends into heaven, he says, all power and authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, you go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And surely I will be with you always to the very end of the age. When you read that, ask yourself this question: is Jesus on the offense or is he on the defense? He's on the offense. In fact, you never read in the Word of God, the 66 books, Old New Testament, you never read anything that gives you the picture that God is like, oh man, if we could just get this thing over with really quick. You know, things are looking pretty tense right now. I don't know how the devil got in there and did this. And Jesus is not wringing his hands in heaven right now. He has and always will be on the offense, advancing his kingdom, looking for people who will partner with him to advance his kingdom. In fact, it's a historical fact, a well-known fact, that an army cannot win a war unless it's advancing. There was a general in World War II who was asked the question in an army or in a war, which army wins? And he said, well, it's the one that's always advancing. Now, you can stay stationary for a period of time, but you're not going to win being just holding your own ground. And I think that's where a lot of churches are in America today and around the world. They're thinking, well, if we just kind of comply with everything, this will eventually blow over, and we can go back to how things were in the old days, meaning January 2020. I'll tell you, we're not going back to the old days. If we do, great. We know the drill of the old days, all right? But more than likely, God has something totally new and aggressive that he's doing in the earth. And what he's doing is simply this. He's saying, love me. Love me like you've never loved me before. And if you're like me, you say, God, it's hard for me to love you. I don't feel love for you a lot of times. I wake up in the morning, it's hard to be disciplined to sit at your feet. That's when you simply say, Jesus, pour your love into me. Because it takes God to love God. You need the grace of God to be able to love him back. It's something that comes from him, is deposited into your heart. You turn around and you give it back to him in worship. Isn't that great? He's so good to us. God is so good. You can trust the one who died for you. The Holy Spirit is really good at what he does, right, Kathy? The Holy Spirit is really good at what he does, so let him do whatever he wants to do in you. Be on the offense with the Lord. As long as Satan keeps the church on defense, his kingdom will never be overthrown. And that's why it's important for James River, the churches in Huron and around the world, to get on the offense. If there was ever a time for us to be intentional, a need for us to be intentional about our own walk with the Lord, that time is now. Be intentional about meeting with God every day. Why is it so important to meet with the Lord every day? Well, if you look throughout the Gospels, you'll see the dozens and dozens of examples where it says, Jesus got up early in the morning, and he went to a solitary place. Now, today, your solitary place might mean just turning off your phone and the devices, okay? Don't have the phone on when you're meeting with God. Jesus went to a solitary place, and I ask the question all the time, if Jesus, the Son of God, needed to get alone with the Father every morning while he was in this earthly body on earth, certainly we need to meet with God every day, right? I mean, Jesus is the example. If it's good enough for Jesus, then it's certainly good enough for us. And so that's why, because the days we're living in are so interesting, and Jesus' return is imminent, and because the harvest is so ripe everywhere, we need to really ramp up our intentionality about our relationship with Jesus, our relationships with our loved ones, husbands and wives. You got to start putting each other first in your family, okay? It's Jesus, husband, wife, kids, ministry, the work of the ministry, how you reach out to other people. You got to keep that flow. If you've got that flow, then your relationship with Jesus will impact those other areas beautifully. If your spouse comes second to Jesus and your kids come third and reaching out to the world around you comes fourth, then Jesus will give you the power and the anointing and the joy to live out your Christian faith in all three of those areas. Your family will come into harmony, your relationship with your spouse will come into harmony, and you'll have the joy and the anointing to reach people for the kingdom of God. Jesus gave us his plan for the church in Matthew 16, verse 18, where he says, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not overcome it. So the picture here is not a church that is in fear, trying to keep Satan out. It's a picture of Satan trying to keep the church out. You got that? That's good news. You don't need to be... By the way, in fact, if you're watching a lot of news, then you probably struggle with fear. So my encouragement to you is ramp the news down a little bit, all right? Turn it off fast from the news. Kathy asks me from time to time, she said, did you check the news? What's going on today? I said, I can tell you without even looking at the news what's going on. Things are really, really bad. But Jesus is Lord, and the kingdom of God is advancing. I mean, that's really all you need to know. Does it help to know generalities once in a while? Yes. So you can pray for the president, or you can pray for the president, or you can pray for... Sorry. You know, yes, we need to be informed. But sometimes we use the excuse of being informed to... We get swallowed up in fear. then. And we don't want that. We really want to be locked in on the Word of God, what God says about this generation. Because if you're locked in on the Word of God and what God's doing, then you can walk in joy and freedom. And all the people who are living in fear will be attracted to your light and want to hear, how can you have such peace when things are so crazy right now? And you can tell them. So you shouldn't be afraid of where the devil will strike next. The devil should be afraid of where you and James River and the church around the world will strike next. Jesus has empowered you to move out of your comfort zone, to storm Satan's kingdom, to break through his gates, and to release captives. There's a lot of captives around here that need to be released. Kathy and I, we were walking back and forth on the main street last night at about, 9 o'clock or something, just passing out tracts, putting tracts in mailboxes, you know, all the bars, making sure we're giving tracts and all that stuff. And we were amazed at the number of bars that there are on Main Street here in Huron. And we just said, Lord, there's a lot of lost people in Huron that need Jesus. So begin to pray for them and have God's heart for them and reach out and boldly go where no Christian man or woman has gone before. That's what God's calling you to do, okay? All right, Jesus said, all power and authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, therefore you go. That's our assignment. Look at 2 Corinthians 10, verses 4 and 5. It says, the weapons, this is the Apostle Paul writing, he says, the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. So the weapons we fight with have divine power to demolish spiritual strongholds. So what I want to give you just for the next few minutes here are four spiritual weapons that help you to demolish demonic strongholds in your own life, in your family, in your school, your work, in your community. So write these down. Number one, the first one is the weapon of prayer. The weapon of prayer. We hear about this so much that we begin to neglect it because we hear it so much. It's almost like if you hear, you know, someone saying something to you over and over and over and over and over again, day after day, sometimes we say, we begin to take it for granted, and we neglect it, and then we almost don't even believe it after a while. We have it as a head knowledge up here, but it's not a transformational heart knowledge that we have here. But let me say it again. We have a weapon that is called prayer, and it is a powerful weapon when we use it. I know you know that here. You've got to capture it again here in your heart. John Wesley, famous evangelist in the 1700s that helped bring revival to England and to America, he said, prayer is where the action is. Prayer is where the action is. And again, there's times that I don't feel like praying. There's times I've been in a prayer meeting and my mind has been a million miles away. And that's when I ask the Holy Spirit, help me to pray. Help me to encounter you. Again, the Christian life is difficult if you're just trying to do it in your own strength. But it's really easy when you ask God to help to move in and through you to help you to live for Jesus. D.L. Moody, famous evangelist in America about 150 years ago, he said, every great movement of God can be traced to a kneeling figure. I love it. Richard Halverson, who is a United States Senate chaplain about 20 years ago, he said, no place is closed to intercessory prayer. No continent, no nation, no organization, no city, no office. There is no power on earth that can keep intercession out. Why wouldn't you want to pray when you realize that what you're praying about, whatever the focus is of your prayer, there's a supernatural explosive impact that's happening at that moment? And I think one of the things that discourages us about prayer is we're always looking with our human eyes. If we don't see an immediate change, then we think, well, that didn't work. Maybe you're not even thinking that, but it's in the back of your mind. Well, why did I do that? I feel stupid now that I prayed for that person. I don't see any change right now. When you pray, there is always, always something that's happening. Always something that's happening. There's been many times I've felt an unction to pray for somebody, an unction meaning like the Holy Spirit's kind of sitting on me, and I can feel His presence, and I just say, excuse me, I love Jesus. I don't know what you're dealing with in your own life, but can I just pray for you a second? By the way, I've never, that I can remember, I don't think I've ever had someone reject that. People are hungry for prayer. Use prayer as a way to witness to people. I mean, it's really easy because it's just you stepping out of the way and letting the Holy Spirit come in. So I'll just say, Jesus, whatever it is, I know you want to touch this person, touch them right now. A lot of times, I don't even know how to pray. I just say, Holy Spirit, come, touch. And I know God's touching them. We prayed for a lady at a coffee shop yesterday nearby here, and we just said, how can we pray for you? And she said, can't you tell my face? I'm going to the hospital next week in Thailand. I'll be gone a few months. And I said, can we pray for you right now? And she goes, yeah. I took her hands. Kathy touched her shoulder. And man, I felt the Holy Spirit touching her. I saw her face changing and being healed. I know God touched her in a way that is beyond my human ability to touch somebody. So pray. Prayer changes things. Prayer changes you. It changes the people that you pray for. One person fervently praying is powerful. It's like a stick of dynamite. Boom! That's what happens when you pray. There is power behind it. But when you come together with the body of Christ and you pray in focused agreement, it's like a nuclear bomb that goes off. You know when you see that on YouTube, the atomic bomb in the desert, or the one they had over Nagasaki, you can see that video on YouTube, you know? That's what united, focused prayer, that's the power of united, focused prayer. And that's why the politics of this virus is completely demonic and must be resisted by a church that is obedient to God. You got to keep meeting. Well, what if? Well, you know what? What if? So what? We live to Christ. To live is Christ, to die is gain. I mean, really, why are we afraid of dying? We've got the most amazing eternity just beyond the veil waiting for us. So how about let's just choose to be filled with joy, tell people about Jesus, and be happy. All right? Amen. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18 says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. Why? Because James 5:16 says that the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. I like to think of prayer as an ICBM, an intercontinental ballistic missile. There's a bunch of those in the West River area. They made one of them into a national park or something recently. Anyways, those missiles can be launched out of an underground silo and can hit any target in the world 12,000 miles away within about 2 yards of the target, which really doesn't matter when you're talking about a missile. All right, it can be within probably a half a mile and destroy everything. That's how precise prayer can be when you use it. That's why I love going on Google Earth. I'm a maps person and a social studies. I love nations. That's why I go on Google Earth and I just kind of like zoom in on Mecca, you know, the Grand Mosque, the heart of Islam, and I'm just like praying in the spirit over that place. I think it was a couple of years ago when the dictator of Cuba was still alive, Castro, yeah, Fidel Castro, and they said, oh, you know, no one's ever seen until satellites came out, you know, where he lived, because it's always been top secret. You can go on YouTube, or at least at that, or YouTube, Google Maps. I went on Google Maps a few years ago before he died, and it's like, I could zoom in on his house, you know, in the jungle in Cuba somewhere, and I was praying over him, praying over his house, because prayer is like an intercontinental ballistic missile. It can touch anywhere that you in the flesh, in your physical body, may not be able to go to, but you can go there when you pray. Amen. Prayer is powerful. Hallelujah. Number two, the second spiritual weapon is the weapon of praise. Praise goes hand in hand with prayer. We praised the Lord. We worship the Lord here a few minutes ago. Singing praises not only positions your heart to hear from God, but it tenderizes your heart so that you can hear from Him. And it also, praise breaks down spiritual strongholds. It happens in the Spirit. And we see the example throughout the Bible. We were ministering probably when we used to live in Pierre 25 years ago. We would minister from time to time on the different reservations. And I remember we were heading to Lower Brule, And, you know, we're coming over the hill from Pier. You're looking down into the valley where you see the small village or the small town of Lower Brule. And we just stopped and we prayed over the town. And as we were praying in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit showed me chariots of fire, angels, angelic angels on chariots of fire swirling around Lower Brule, and they were just waiting. I said, Lord, what are they waiting for? He said, they're waiting for intercessors to be invited. They're waiting for intercessors to be invited. God has a plan for Huron, and we need to engage with God's plans and purposes for Huron and pray them into existence. And worship is one of those weapons that will do that, because worship tears down spiritual strongholds. One of my favorite stories in the Bible is 2 Corinthians 20. It's the story of King Jehoshaphat, a godly king. He's surrounded by enemy armies. It looks like there's going to be wiped out. In the natural, there's no hope for Israel, of which Israel has experienced that kind of being up against the wall multiple times throughout her history. In verses 21 and 22, it says, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness as they went out ahead of the army, saying, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, his love endures forever. And as they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. Teaches us a powerful lesson today. We all know that when you get a blessing in your life, it's easy to thank God for the blessing, right? All right, if you, what's your name? Akiah, you were worshiping? Was that you worshiping? Yeah, beautiful. Thank you so much. Keep it up. Okay, Akiah, you get a letter in the mail. There's a $100 bill in the mail. How would you respond? Come on, I give my tithe. Come on. Praise God. I love it. Yeah. And you'd probably say, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We praise God when there's a blessing that comes into our life, which is completely natural. But what do you do when the blessing doesn't come? Or when the blessing or the answer seems delayed? That's when we need to praise God for what we are expecting him to do. What he said he would do, we praise him by faith. And that's what these worshipers did in 2 Chronicles. They said, put the worshipers in front of the battle. Take them into the battle. The worship team at the front of the army. And as they did that, the Lord went ahead of them and caused confusion among the enemy, and they killed each other. God brought the victory because of praise. Praise positions you for victory. Listen, I know that there are a lot of times you don't feel like praising God. A lot of times you come to church here and it's like, all right, I know, I can relate. I live in a human body. Just like you live in a human body, we can all relate to that, okay? That's easy to do nothing, all right? It takes maturity and unction to say, no matter how I feel, I'm going to praise God, all right? Yeah, I don't feel like it. Yeah, well, my wife just left me, or my kid's on drugs and backslidden, or I just got my pink slip at work and I'm out of a job, or whatever. I don't have enough money tomorrow, or rent's due. What do I do? What do you do? You praise God. You do the opposite of what your flesh wants to do. Your flesh wants to worry, wring hands, say, God, God, God. You know, what you do is you praise him. Lord, you're faithful, you're good. I don't understand what you're doing, but you've been faithful and good in the past. You're faithful and good now, and you will be tomorrow and into the future. I praise you, and I give you the praise because you're worthy of my praise. That is called a sacrifice of praise, and it's really, really sweet smelling to Jesus. He absolutely loves it, and he will respond sooner when you praise him first in the midst of a difficult situation. Praise positions you for victory. Praise also causes confusion in the enemy's camp. That's why when I worked with South Dakota Right to Life back in the 90s and we passed a bunch of laws, God did it. Usually before, almost always before we had any kind of an important vote, either in a committee or on the floor of the House of Senate here in Pier, I would get Kathy, she'd gather about four or five intercessors together, we'd go through the Capitol about 9 or 10 o'clock at night. Anoint seats with oil. Okay. We would anoint places with oil, okay. And we would just pray and pray in the spirit around the Capitol building, pray over chairs so that the next day as I'm sitting in a committee room and people are haggling and arguing over this pro-life bill or a bill regarding euthanasia, I'd be thinking, yeah, that pro-abortion person that's not saved, that state senator, I could see the oil on the chair that we prayed over the night before. You know, it's strategic. Prayer and praise worship is strategic, so take advantage of it. Praise also establishes God's reign and authority while at the same time taking ground from Satan. We're doing good time-wise. Praise God. Hallelujah. Number three, the weapon of preaching the Word of God. Look at your notes. Reinhard Bonnke, I can't wait to see this guy in heaven. Wish I could have met him on earth. He's a hero of mine. Reinhard Bonnke, the German evangelist that helped lead 80 million Africans to Christ in the last 50 years. Amazing. He said, when I have traveled, or should I do my German accent? When I have traveled to these remote cultures, I sometimes feel the impression, hallelujah. That's him. All right. That the satanic infrastructure has never been challenged. Satan has often exercised total dominion over the people through sickness, drought, insanity, fear, superstition, and idolatry. When I preach the gospel, I can feel these curses break. The light of the gospel shines into the darkness and overcomes it. We see it wherever we go. We've stepped into some pretty dark places around the world. You start praying in the spirit, singing in the spirit, worshiping, and then preaching the gospel, and it's like light that and darkness flees. Why wouldn't we want to preach the word? To preach the word in the Greek simply means to proclaim. So don't think, well, preaching is something that preachers do. No, preaching, proclaiming is something that proclaimers do. And you are a proclaimer. The moment you said yes to Jesus, you had a testimony. Your testimony was, I was like this. I was feeling God. I think it's God was doing something. They tell me it's the Holy Spirit. I don't know. It just happened 5 minutes ago, but I feel new on the inside. It's amazing. I feel as light as a feather. It's great. That's your testimony. Proclaim it. Proclaim. Some of you say, well, I don't know what to share with people. My friends at school, what do I do? You know, just first of all, smile. That helps a lot. Smile. Be happy. All right. Be happy. That's actually a big thing that a lot of Christians forget when they're like, yeah, I don't know. I really have a hard time witnessing to guys at work. And I say, spend time with Jesus. When you spend time with Jesus, he helps you to be happy. All right. It's just like, you know, if you're married, spending time with your spouse, intimate time with your spouse, you come out of the bedroom, you're happy, right? Right? Is that right? You spend time with Jesus in the morning, you come out of the secret place, you're happy. Okay. Well, then just share that joy with the people around you. That's all it is. And it's just sharing what God's done in your life. And it's saying, I know this sounds kind of crazy, but can I pray for you? I just feel like God, he loves you. He wants to touch you in some way. You know, is that all right? It's okay to stumble over words. It's okay, you know, you're a little bit insecure about it, but just step out. It's so much fun. It's so much fun because as you see lives changed, it encourages your faith to do this more often. To preach simply means to proclaim. Acts 8:4 says, and wherever they were scattered, that was because of persecution in Jerusalem, wherever they were scattered, they told people the good news. Romans 10, verse 17, so faith comes from hearing the good news, and people hear the good news when someone tells them about Christ. Praise the Lord. 2 Corinthians 9:16, Paul says, telling the good news is my duty. It's something I must do. And how terrible it will be for me if I do not tell the good news right now. Because people are hungry. I had a dream. I remember telling Autumn this dream several years ago. I said, Autumn, in this dream, Kathy and I were on the side of a field that the wheat was only about 6 inches high. There wasn't even any blades on it or any wheat, what are they called? Grain. Thank you, grain. There was no grain on it. And Jesus comes up to Kathy and I, and he says, the harvest is ripe. Go into the field. I said, Lord, the wheat's only about 6 inches high. There's no grain on it. He said, the harvest is ripe. It needs to come in right now. But I'm saying, but Lord, if I get into the combine, it's barely going to touch the wheat. It's barely going to touch it. And he was so emphatic. He was desperate to the point of tears. He said, the harvest is ready. Bring it in. He was saying, don't go by how you see the harvest in your area. Just bring it in. Because a lot of times people fail to bring in the harvest, or they fail to talk to someone at school or at work because they say, they don't look ready. I mean, they look really tough. They look mean. They're harsh. They swear a lot. They have a wall every time I talk to them. The Lord says the harvest is ripe. Don't think that they're only this high, spiritually speaking. They're ready. If Jesus said the harvest is white in Huron, then the harvest is white and ready in Huron. You go by what Jesus said, not by how you perceive people with your natural eyes. Amen. I'm going to skip ahead to number four, the weapon of testimony. Leonard Ravenhill said, a man with an experience is never at the mercy of a man with an argument. Your testimony, what God has done in your life, cannot be debunked by the most intellectual person you know. And as a new believer, I remember thinking, oh man, that guy's so much smarter than I am. Or I felt really intimidated when I talked to this person because they had a degree or a master's or a PhD in something. I felt like they could run circles around me regarding the Bible. The Lord said, don't even worry about that. So I remember I was a brand new believer. We had taken a trip to England with my family, and I meet this guy in Hyde Park, and he starts talking to me about the Bible. And I'm thinking, oh, it sounds like a Christian. Well, then he starts saying, yeah, the Bible contradicts itself here and here and here, and how can you believe in the Bible, blah, 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 going on and on. And I remember thinking, gee, I don't know how to respond to this guy. I know I believe in Jesus because he did this in my life. I gave my life to him. I'm not doubting that, but I don't know how to respond to all these arguments that he has. And so as he's trying to trip me up, I just said simply this, and this is what you can say. Just simply say, you know, I don't know the answer to that question, but if I see you later at some point, I'll try to get the answer and get it to you. However, let me tell you what Jesus did in my life. Always go back to your testimony. In fact, it's best to stay away from arguments because you rarely gain anything with anybody by arguing scripture. You just stick with, this is what he did in my life, and I know he can do the same for you. Can I pray for you? Just flip it right back to that all the time. Can I pray for you? Testimony is powerful. Testimony is Jesus' basic strategy of reaching the whole world with the gospel. And he shared this strategy in his closing words as he's about to ascend into heaven. He's speaking to his disciples in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, and he says this, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Well, what does a witness do? What does a witness do? A witness is someone who shares what they have seen, heard, or experienced. Seen, heard, and experienced. What have you experienced with the Lord? Just share that with people. What have you seen him do? Share that with people. I mean, there's a lot of times when I witness to people, I just share what I saw, a testimony on 700 Club. It wasn't even my own personal story. I'm just sharing, man, I saw this story where they prayed for this person and this person got healed. It's amazing. Can I pray for you? A testimony, a witness is somebody who shares what they have seen, heard, and experienced. It is the spiritual force of testimony that brought down the cruel and pagan Roman Empire 1,500 years ago. All right? The church comes into existence on Pentecost. It spreads like wildfire. Millions of people are coming to Christ, so that by about 300 AD, first of all, there's an intense persecution. But because of the testimony of millions of Christians across the social stratum, the people who are not believers are won to Christ by this. And it totally shakes down Satan's kingdom, and it did in the Roman Empire 2,000 years ago as well. Testimony is a powerful spiritual weapon that we have to use in advancing the kingdom of God. Finally, look at Revelation chapter 12, verses 10 and 11. The Apostle John on the island of Patmos, he says, and then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ, for the accuser of our brothers, that is Satan, who accuses them before our God day and night, has been hurled down. Verse 11, and they, that is the believers, overcame him, Satan, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. Hallelujah. The blood of Jesus and our testimony to what we have seen, heard, and experienced will ultimately shake down Satan's kingdom. How many want the devil to be shaken down? Amen. Everything that he's robbed from people to come out of his pockets while he's hanging upside down, all right? That will happen by what Jesus did on the cross, the power of what he did on the cross, and that what that implies when people receive Christ. Because the Bible says the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to all who believe. I don't get it. I just believe it and I assert it. I assert that power that he has anointed every one of us with to share the gospel. Powerful message. You can be free. The blood of Jesus cleanses you from all sin. Do you want to receive this free gift? Do you want to surrender to him completely? Yes, 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 yes. Okay, let's pray. All right. And people are set free. Hallelujah. I want to see the devil's kingdom shaken down once and for all. It's going to come. He's calling you to get in the action. Remember, John Wesley said, prayer is where the action is. I'll tell you, if you really want to get in on the action of what God's doing around the world, get into these four spiritual disciplines. Share the gospel, testimony, proclaim, worship God even when you don't feel like it. Pray. Pray in unity with other believers and see the kingdom of God advancing. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the privilege of being united with what you are doing around the earth in 2021. And Lord, we sang a song during the worship time. We sang a song, something about I surrender. I surrender completely. Those songs were all about surrendering to Jesus fully. And Lord, we say that to you right now. We surrender fully to you because we know we can trust you. Lord, we want to get in on the action you have for us in these last days before you return. Lord, it is our desire that when we see you face to face, and I believe it's going to be soon, we want to hear you say, well done. Well done. I'm so proud of you. You stuck it out. You shared me with people even when you lost friends. Well done. Well done. And Lord, I ask now that you would give an extra measure and anointing of your Holy Spirit on each one of us in this room today. Pour out your Spirit on us in a greater measure. And Lord, we ask for signs and wonders. Lord, I believe that that is a mandate of this church, James River, and a mandate on the church around the world. Lord, that they would, by the power of your name and through your hands, God, that they would see signs, wonders, and miracles in Huron and throughout South Dakota and throughout America. God, we need revival, and we want to get in on what you're doing right now in our nation. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord. Amen, amen, amen. Thank you. Winter, hallelujah.
We're not quite done yet. We're going to take up an offering for Dan and Kathy one row, so let's just hold tight. Let's get that ready. So ushers, if you guys want to get the baskets ready, who enjoyed that so much? Like, can you